You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Another great Wednesday edition of this show for you guys today. Great guest, Matt Herlicka, joining me on the show. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Make sure you go and subscribe to this podcast in Apple iTunes. It just takes a minute. Also, just download the new podcast at Himalaya. It's super easy to use, as every single podcast you love. Just search for Locked On Grizzlies, and you can subscribe right to the podcast through the new Himalaya app. Again, Matt Herlicka joined me today. The conversation is going to be about Ja Morant and a lot of Mike Conley trades. Matt Herlicka has a new piece up on his Patreon page. Again, if you don't already subscribe to that, make sure you go and subscribe to his Patreon page. It's right there pinned on his Twitter handle. If you're not already following Matt, his Twitter handle is at The Real Herlicka. That's H-R-D-L-I-C-K-A. Again, it's pinned on his page. He's, you know, obviously one of the best writers there is in covering the Grizzlies. I enjoy reading his work. It always makes sense, always very reasonable. So he has his latest piece is all about Mike Conley trades. So we're going to get to that in all of the conversation that we have. We're going to go through, I think, three or four of those trades in detail, and then just let him tell us which one he thinks is the most reasonable. All these trades that are for, you know, basically the idea of these trades is obviously for Mike Conley and what the Grizzlies could potentially get for their point guard this upcoming offseason. So enjoy this conversation. It's coming up right after the break. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip 6, where their goal is to literally make the best belts that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, and even mothers and wives if they see their women's collection. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it carries a low profile with a buckle laying flat against the waist, making the belt super comfortable. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, and no bulk. Grip 6 has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com/LOCKE. Welcome back to the show. Another Wednesday edition of the show for you guys. Matt Herlicka joining me on the show today has been a recent guest of ours this year. Matt, how are you today? Or tonight, I guess I could
say. I'm good, Mark. Yeah, tonight. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Ready to talk some Grizzlies.
Absolutely. I want to have you on. Obviously, I love what you write. If you guys have not already subscribed to Matt's Patreon, make sure you do that. It's still not in his Twitter bio, but that's okay. One day it'll be there for you guys to just go there, but it's a pinned tweet, so just go to Matt's Twitter handle. It'll be there. I want to start with obviously the Grizzlies getting the number two pick. Is it Ja Morant? I think it should be Ja Morant, but tell us why it should be Ja Morant.
Yeah, I'm actually, before you called, I was writing on this very topic. So I kind of agree with, first of all, college scouting is not my deal. I don't watch college. The only time I saw Ja play in person was I missed his awesome tournament game, and I saw a second one, I was still pretty impressed with him, but I struggle contextualizing, you know, the inner workings of the college offense and defense and who the competition is versus like what it'll look like in the NBA. But I don't see a reason to disagree with consensus. I am kind of, and I don't want to spoil too much of this, because I try to make the reverse argument and say, you know, what is an argument for RJ Barrett look like? And I ultimately kind of, you know, say it's not compelling, but I do think there's an argument there. And sort of not to go too in depth in this, but, you know, point guards, it's really hard for a point guard to be like a top 10 player. And I say a point guard as like a guy under 6'4".
Right.
Like, and if you look at the top 10 players, even top 20, you know, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, let's exclude Russell Westbrook because he's, you know, 6'5" and just like literally the most athletically gifted point guard ever. Excluding him, what is Stephen, Damian Lillard? Would you say any other point guard in the NBA is a top 20 player? Like, not Chris Paul. And let's exclude James Harden because he's over 6'4".
James Harden's not a point guard. No, you're right. I mean, it's being a point guard and being an elite point guard is hard to do. I mean, it's very, very difficult to do, especially, again, for whatever the knock is on Ja Morant's shooting. I mean, like I made in an episode last week, like, point guards have to be able to shoot. Have to. Right. Absolutely have to.
Yep. That's exactly right. And that's the thing I was going to say was, like, Steph and Damian Lillard, not only can they shoot, but they can hit off the dribble threes. And not like off the dribble threes where, you know, the defense is going under and kind of daring you to shoot. It's not that kind of off dribble three. It's kind of like, you leave me for 1 second and I'm canning a three. I'm like pulling up from 30. And those two guys can do it. And I don't think Ja's – like, if Ja can do it, if he can do that, then he will be a top – like, he'll be the best point guard in the NBA at one point. Like, because he has everything else. He just – you know, he can't shoot and he can't play defense. And I – like, when I look at his shot, I'm like, that is like – that's like how I shoot. You know, I kind of don't jump very much, and I kind of push it from my, you know, from my shoulder, and it looks good. It'll go in sometimes, but like if I were under duress, I would have a hard time getting that off, you know? So, but I mean, he's an athlete. He's awesome athletically, and he sees the whole court. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting that the other point guard there is Darius Garland, because that guy can shoot. And that guy will can it from 30 feet. And I kind of like look at that. It's like, okay, you know, which guy's more valuable? If they both hit their ceilings, is the guy that can hit off the dribble threes more valuable than the guy who can't? Is that the only thing that matters? And I ultimately say, no, that's not the only thing that matters. But it is kind of like an interesting idea. Can he really be even a top 20 player in the league if he can't do that? And I think that there's a world in which, like, that might be true, you know?
Yeah, I think it can be true as well. But I also think that his shot's not so broken that it can't be helped along in the NBA once you have a shooting coach.
Oh, no, of course.
It's not like a Lonzo Ball where he's shooting from, like, the left side of his head. You know, like, it's not so crazy. But I think you're right. Like, he, that's something that he has to work on. Like, and I said this, like I said last week and other times, that point guards, especially in today, they have to be able to shoot. They, like, you have to even look at Mike Conley. Even Mike Conley can hit threes. And I mean, it took him a while to get there. And it's the same thing. Like, John Morant, like, he's not going to be fantastic right away. Like, the point guard spot in the NBA is also one of those spots that it takes several years to be good, you know, like, it takes time to develop at a point guard spot, because that spot is just so complex. You know, don't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, don't you think, like, it's going to take him 4 years, you know? It'll be before his restricted free agency, before we really see him again. Like, I think before we really see him, like, what his ceiling could be.
Yeah. Ja's probably going to be bad next year. He probably, like, almost all point guards are bad in their rookie year. Trae Young is the exception. And, like, De'Aaron Fox was even bad as a rookie.
Well,
and
I mean, Trae Young was bad for like a half. I mean, he wasn't great even starting right away. You know,
good,
like,
point.
You know, he wasn't good right away.
Right. And I think Trae Young is one of the rare college guys, because the Grizzlies were so bad last year. I started watching college basketball. I was blown away by Trae Young. I was like, I don't know if this guy will ever defend it, or if his team will ever be able to defend at like an elite level. He may be putting Trae Young on this team. You may be consigning yourself to a bottom half of the league defense, but I guarantee you that guy is going to be awesome at offense. And I was like, I wanted the Grizzlies to take Trae Young. I was like, forget it. Like, this guy is 100% going to be an awesome NBA offensive player. He's going to can threes and he's going to make it so much easier for everybody else. And like, I'll just figure it out from there. I'm happy that I was right on Trae Young, but I'm also like, I'm not making the argument that like Trae is a better player than Jaren. I mean, we're years away from ever even be able to like start having that conversation. And I'm really happy with Jaren. I think he's probably going to be the better NBA player if I had to guess. But I'm just glad that I wasn't traded and come in and suck immediately. Because yeah. I would have started doubting myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Jaren will probably ultimately be the, I mean, Jaren just, he does so many things well that, I mean, even just a lot of little things, you just don't, you know, kind of take for granted, even just watching him mm-hmm. all the time. I think he'll probably end up being the better player as well. But I thought, to be honest with you, I did not think Trae Young, just watching him, because I'm like you, I don't watch a whole lot of college ball. I mm-hmm. watch when I need to watch for who I'm looking for, go back and look at certain things. But I'm not watching college mm-hmm. basketball outside of the Tigers. That's just not my thing. But just watching Trae Young in the beginning of the year, I was like, I don't see it. And then all of a sudden I was like, damn, I got a lot of Atlanta friends. And I'm like, I was definitely wrong about that one. Because that guy can score the ball like it ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Mike Conley for a second. You have a awesome piece up about a bunch of Conley trades. I want to get to those. And if you haven't already seen it, I'm not going to want to go to the whole thing, but there's certain ones I want to look at. And the first one, just right off the bat, is Phoenix. And I think I've seen Phoenix thrown around a lot by a bunch of different people, with different people like Josh Jackson, who I'm not a fan of, and a couple other things. Mm-hmm. You are the only one I've seen. I think I've seen with TJ Warren, which would be my favorite of the Phoenix Suns players, would be TJ Warren as well. I was playing 2K earlier today, and that's literally the trade I made was Mike Conley and TJ Warren in a first or something like that with Phoenix. Yeah. What ultimately do you think is would they be able to get out of it? Do you think they would really be able to part with TJ Warren in a first to get that with Mike? I don't know if they would be able to do that or if they would do it.
Well, I mean, first of all, they have a new GM. So anytime a new GM comes in, they're always a little bit less stuck to the players on the roster because they're not their players. So I would think TJ Warren's gettable. The problem is the second asset, because TJ Warren for Mike Conley is not going to work. Like, you need something else. So it is TJ Warren, and then the Phoenix Suns have Milwaukee's first, I believe, next year, which will probably be, you know, the 29th, 30th pick, 28th pick.
Yeah.
Is that enough for Mike Conley? Is that plus a second okay? Like, that, I'm kind of like, TJ Warren better be really good for you. And, you know, I am a TJ Warren optimist, but he's getting to that age where, like, he's the same age as Jonas. Like, he's 26. He just turned 26, I believe. And that's kind of, you're really buying that player to sell them later. You know, like, you're not mm-hmm. really counting on that player to be a part of the core going forward. And I, out of a Conley trade, I would trade him for a lottery pick in this year's draft, a lottery pick in next year's draft, just any single high value asset that I can put with Jaren and Ja. And so ultimately from Phoenix, I would want the sixth pick. I think that's too much to give up for Conley, so that's why I don't think that there's a good fit there.
Yeah, I mean, TJ Warren, as Gucky said, he's getting to the age where you either have to do something, or you are what you are. Like, there's no right. changing anymore. This is just what you are in the NBA, whether good mm-hmm. or bad, it is what it is. I actually like TJ Warren, but
yeah, no, he made a big leap in 3-point shooting. Like, he became a good 3-point shooter this year.
Yeah,
after showing like incremental steps towards being, he like shot up this year, and part of me thinks that like that's probably, this may go down as like his best shooting year of his career. That's possible. I still think he kind of sucks at defense, but you know, like getting a high volume shooter on the wing who is efficient but does nothing else, that still has like a lot of value, because you know, like, they need, Grizzlies need that. They don't have anybody on the way.
Oh, yeah. They've needed that for, it feels like a decade. So,
yeah.
The other one, the other one I've seen talk about a lot, you mentioned it here, is Boston, Gordon Hayward for Mike Conley and a first rounder. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sold on this. And the reason is I said this is because, I mean, can the Grizzlies really PR wise go and get another wing that's maybe not, you know, a shell of himself, like he, mm-hmm. you know, a shell of his former self, mm-hmm. and have him sit on the bench and people even matter that they have Gordon Hayward. I have to look at Gordon Hayward and Chandler Parsons all year next year, making a combined $50 million. I mean, is that, that just for me, I just don't know if the Grizzlies can go out and do that just for, I don't know if that, and I know PR's sake doesn't matter as far as basketball moves, but I just think it would have people having a hard time swallowing that pill.
Yeah, the problem with that trade is basically Boston knows more than you about Gordon Hayward.
Sure.
It's not just about his injury history. It's about his day-to-day rehab. It's about what is he capable of doing in practices?
Right.
Is he way better? We know that it's a year-long recovery, but that's not suddenly in a year he's going to be better. You have to it's a year-long recovery if you've been doing everything right up until then. So I feel like the only way they trade him is if he's damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, are you really – if that trade were on the table with me, I wouldn't be treating Gordon Hayward as an asset. I would be treating him as dead salary because I don't think Boston would be trading him.
Correct.
I mean, he's playing for his college coach. They're not treating him unless he's damaged
goods. Unless he's bad. Unless he's bad. Right?
Yeah. So is Conley worth a first-round pick on his own? Yes. Is taking Gordon Hayward's contract worth one first-round pick by itself? It's probably worth more than that. So what's the deal? And is that working? Can you make that workable given the fact that Boston probably, they're only making this deal if Gordon Hayward is damaged goods and Kyrie is leaving. And if that's the case, aren't they trying to save stuff? Are they still trying to save stuff for Anthony Davis? And I just don't – I think there's too much stuff going on where I had kind of discarded it out of hand, and then somebody kind of talked me – and I was like, you know what? I hadn't really thought about it, so I could see a world where this worked, but I just don't – I think there's too many moving parts.
Yeah, I'm with you. If Celtics looked at Gordon Hayward and they're willing to give you two first round or two picks or whatever it is for Gordon Hayward for Mike Conley, then it's not worth it. They know more, he's not good.
Yeah.
Because if he was good, they would say, well, clearly he just needs a little bit more time. Because let's be honest,
right.
If the Gordon Hayward that got in Charlotte is better player than Mike Conley. So if you're getting mm-hmm. that Gordon Hayward, we'll just keep him because he's, why would he give away that player and
picks? Right.
That doesn't make sense. So I'm with you on that one. Last one I'm going to mention here.
I would say real quick on that one. What did I have to say? I thought of it, and then let's see, Gordon Hayward. Oh, there's a chance that Gordon Hayward plus two first, let's say the best of their first two first rounders this year, so it's 14 and 20.
Yeah,
there's a chance that's the best offer for Conley, and I would probably keep him if that were the case.
Yeah.
And I would also say that I think a lot of teams are making a mistake if that's the best trade for him. Assuming Gordon Hayward is dead salary, there might be a chance where Gordon Hayward is not totally dead salary, and then I could kind of talk to myself. I would be extremely nervous making that deal. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, if Gordon Hayward came to Memphis and he was the player that he was before the injury, then that's fantastic. But again, that's another swing that you may not, are you willing to make? And again,
right,
are you willing to make that swing and then sit there and look at Gordon Hayward and Chandler Parsons next year, taking up $50 million of your cap space, just sitting there being bad? And so I just find it hard to believe that happens. Even that, like you said, if that's their best deal is 14 and 20, I'm keeping Mike Conley because the 14 and 20 this year's draft probably isn't that good. So I'm probably keeping him or taking a different deal that's probably maybe out there. Last one I mentioned, this is the one I like the best. This is the one I lobbied for so hard at the trade deadline was Miles Bridges from Charlotte. I think he would be so good on this team. But I mean, obviously this only happens if Kimba leaves. I just don't know if they're willing to part with Miles Bridges for Mike Conley. I don't know how much they want to win right now.
Yeah. It's sort of like with the Boston thing, Boston only does it if Kyrie leaves. So
right.
How are you I'll just say it's not something you can count on, but if the phone rang and MJ had a gun to his GM's head and was like, you need to get Mike Conley. If the conversation was just Miles Bridges plus a bad contract, I'm not hanging up the phone until that deal's done. Seriously,
yeah, no.
Bridges is the perfect – he's the perfect player to fit in between these two guys. He covers up so much of what the team needs, and you just let those three guys grow together, and you add you know, you add a lottery pick either this year or next year, and that's your team. And
yeah,
you know, you figure out everything else.
That's a hell of a core to go forward. I mean, again, like you said, and I said this at the trade deadline, take MKG, whatever bad contract you want, put it in there. We'll take it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's coming off, you know, next year, because you put those three together, and a lot of that money comes off the books next offseason, when you can actually go out and offer, you know, try to offer some restricted free agents that are maybe on the edge, but you can offer them more and kind of overpay. Like,
yep.
Didn't you really got a core moving forward? Before I let you go, Otto, there's still some more trades, obviously, in your piece. What was your favorite one that you thought was maybe most realistic, or just your favorite in general, that you wish would happen for Mike Conley, if they do indeed try to trade him?
The most realistic one, I think, is probably Miami. So it'd be like two of their bad contracts. Ryan Anderson, the one I came up with is Ryan Anderson, Kelly Olynyk, and the 13th pick. I think they have the 13th pick. Late lottery pick.
Yeah,
13th. I think that's the most realistic one, because – like, I think that there's a good chance Goran Dragic opts out, or they try to trade him for some kind of wing.
Right.
Just because there really aren't that many point guards on the market, and I could see Goran saying, you know what, I'm probably not going to get $19 million again, but I'm going to get 50 over three or something.
Right, right.
Or 55 or something. And then my favorite is the Utah trade that I suggested, which was basically Derek Favors, Tony Bradley, who is a bad, like, he's basically $2 million of dead salary, and an unprotected 2022 first round pick. And the idea there is, like, you know, if Kevin Durant goes east, all these teams are going to be scrambling to, like, they can think that they have a chance at getting to the finals, like, not just the conference finals, but the NBA finals. And Utah, by trading for Mike Conley, first of all, they get Mike Conley.
Right.
And he's like the perfect player for them, because he can hit threes off of Donovan Mitchell, and he can give them, like, Conley, Mitchell, and Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles becomes like your third scorer instead of your second scorer. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you're keeping other teams in the conference from trading for Mike Conley. Like,
yeah,
Denver could, I can't quite make the numbers work, but you know, like, Denver could use Mike Conley. Minnesota could trade for Mike Conley. And suddenly, like, Minnesota with Conley is, if Cat makes a leap, that, I mean, suddenly they're all getting good shots. Like, Conley would probably freeze out Andrew Wiggins, like, better, you know, like, suddenly
right.
that team's looking pretty good. And, you know, Utah with Conley would be, for me, the favorites in the West, that, for me. Well, they would be like co-favorites with Golden State, but I would take them over Houston, especially with the way Chris Paul looks, and he's not going to look better, like, going forward. So, and you get Conley for two seasons too. So
mm-hmm.
for me, giving up Favors and then the unprotected 2022, I mean, I've had two or three different people tell me that that's silly. Like, and not just Twitter eggs, but like, people who are fairly connected, like, they're not going to do that. But why, if you can give yourself a team, if you can give your team a shot at the finals, like, you don't get that opportunity very often. And also, just not giving up very much, that, like, in present value, like, you're basically just putting Conley on the team. To me, like, I would be willing to do that. And I got a Jazz fan to admit, like, that's a pretty good trade. Like, he was like, I would definitely have a meeting about it. I'm not saying I would do
yeah.
it, but I would definitely. He was like, are you sure you don't want to take two first rounders, like, that are lottery protected? And I was like, are you sure you prefer to give up two lottery protected? I'm only asking for one. And then you can make a trade with your pick this year and next year, like, at the deadline, and get another guy. And he was like, oh yeah, you're right. We could do that. We could add another guy to this. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
the thing is, I don't like that. The Utah thing is very interesting too. The thing is, though, with the Grizzlies and Mike Conley at this point, is that, like you mentioned, there isn't a whole lot out there of high value point guards, especially people like Mike Conley, who can significantly run your offense. better than most point guards out there, can make shots. I mean, he's taken a gigantic leap, and the way he scores the ball over the last few years, like, there's not a big market out there. And so I know Memphis obviously is in a good position, but like, I don't think that's crazy. Like, Derek Favors and an unprotected 22. Like, I don't think that's crazy. Like, Favors, I like Derek Favors, you know, like if they wanted to put Dante Exum in there, like you mentioned, like that's something they could, like, that's not crazy.
Yeah,
to me.
I would take Exum as a favor to them. Like, if you correct. Want to get off Exum's salary, like that's, we'll do it. That's fine. Like, throw him in there.
Yeah, so. No, I think you're right. I don't think that's crazy at all. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Mike Conley. Obviously, that's been things we've been talking about for a while, if anything at all. Again, Matt Herlucka, I appreciate you joining me. If you haven't already read the post we've been talking about over on his Patreon page, make sure you go and check it out. It is pinned on his Twitter handle. You can find it there. Man, I appreciate it. Let's do it again soon. Today's show is brought to you by Untuckit. Dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys to pull off a casual, untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuckit comes in. Untuckit is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great, untucked, and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailor required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code MBA to get 20% off. Go to untuckit.com and use promo code MBA to get 20% off. Thanks again to Matt Herlucka for joining me today. I really appreciate him. It was a super fun conversation, and I appreciate him stopping by as always to have to just talk about Grizzlies basketball. And again, the Mike Conley conversation was super informative, super helpful to me. I know it was super helpful for you guys. So I appreciate him stopping by to join us. Again, make sure you download the new Himalaya podcast app, and you can subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies straight through the app right there. It's super easy to use. It's super intuitive. Has all the podcasts on there. Just go to your app store, Google Play, wherever you get your apps, download the new Himalaya app and subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies right through there. Again, if you have a moment, please go rate and review the podcast in Apple iTunes. It really helps our rankings there as well. If you still don't know where to get it, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.